Gospel, chapter number 18. I'll begin the reading with the ninth verse, having to do with the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and he despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And may God bless the reading of the Word. One night years ago in a revival meeting, there was a man standing at the back of the auditorium before the service began. And he heard two gentlemen talking. And he listened to their conversation. They were close by, and the first man of the two said to the other, "Have you noticed the difference between the ministry of Rousseau and Ironside, the two evangelists?" And the two men discussed the question for a few moments, and then the first man said, "When Rousseau preaches, he tells people what they'll get when they get saved. When Ironside preaches, he tells people what they'll get if they don't get saved." Two different observations altogether. This morning, I'm going to try to preach from Lozo's side and Ironside's side. What you get if you get saved, and what you get if you don't get saved. And that's the gospel. And I thought, from experience, I'll begin with Lozo's ministry, what you get when you get saved. And I thought, from having been saved these many years, I could never have realized, I could have never even imagined, I could have never begin to understand what a man gets when he gets saved. It's greater than man can ever tell. Let me just leave this with you. It is not just salvation. Thank God for salvation. But that's only the beginning. I've read this Bible and I found out that God just keeps on giving. And if God keeps on giving, I'm going to keep on getting. What do you get when you get saved? You get more than this world can ever tell. I'm going to mention some things, and then when I get down towards the end, or maybe middle way, I'm going to mention three things of essence, but I'm going to mention several things of what we get when we get saved. Now, let's begin with the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, and a familiar scripture. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Now, sometimes that we might not understand what that is talking about in a spiritual sense, but let me just put it in the physical sense to begin with. Have you ever been flatly exhausted? I'm talking about give out. When the energy level was on empty. When you felt like you just didn't have enough zip or vim or bigger just to do another thing. I'm talking about maybe even working in the cause of the Lord. Whatever it might be. Have you ever been really tired? I've mentioned this lady that was in our church where we first pastored. I guess I'll remember. I was going to say as long as I have a good mind. I don't know whether I even have that now. But she had three children. And she had also three foster children. And she was a worker in the church. And she was a part of what went on. And she labored. And one time she was just so tired, so given out, she said, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down in my rocking chair for 1,000 years. And this is what she said. "And after 1,000 years of resting, I'm going to start rocking real slow." She was give out. Let me leave this with you before I hurry along. There's a rest for the Christian. This world is out there in a turmoil and confusion, but there's a rest in the Lord. Then I went to another thought. I came to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and I see a man and his son, Abraham and Isaac. They're on their way towards Jerusalem and toward the Mount Moriah. When they arrive at Mount Moriah, Abraham has his servants to stay at the foot of the mountain. He and his son Isaac go up the mountain, and they're going to offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering sacrifice. And as they're going, little Isaac, or young Isaac, I shouldn't say little, young Isaac says to his daddy, "Father, we've got the wood and we've got the fire. Where is the ox? Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham answered, "Son, our God will provide." What do you get when you get saved? God has promised to provide every need of your life. Brother, that's enough to shout about the rest of the day. And you know the rest of the story. God provided a ram on the top of the mountain. Abraham came back down the mountain with his son Isaac. He was prepared to take his life in the obedience to God. But God provided. Listen, I'm testifying this morning. God will provide every need of your life. Paul picked up the pen and he was writing to the Philippians and he said, "My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, brother, if you want a supply sergeant to take care of something, he's the one. "My God shall supply all of your need." My wife and I can testify this morning together, although neither of us are feeling 100% physically, how God has taken care of us all about our time as Christians, how God has never failed. He's a big God. He will provide. And then I thought about protection. In the 91st chapter of Psalms, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, in Him shall I trust." I want you to know we can trust in God. A songwriter picked up the pen and wrote, "Safe in the arms of Jesus. I find even now I'm safe in the arms of God." Amen. We have protection in the Lord. We have a security system here. Protection one. Others have, I guess, ADT. Some other outfits for protection. Listen closely. There's no protection in the world like the protection that He gives. What a Savior. What a mighty God. He looks after His own. He takes care of His own. And fourthly, He gives direction. He gives guidance in life. I read the 23rd Psalm. I come to the second verse. "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He leads. He leads. There was a statement that came out about our president during the Libyan affair and with Gaddafi and the rest, and how that he had NATO, and I'm not against all of that, but had NATO to lead the way, and he was going to lead from behind. And I hope you understand, and I'm not casting any kind of remarks against the president at all. But I want everyone to know that Jesus Christ will lead you. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. Everyone that follows the Lord will, He'll lead you right into holy living. This is the best life in the world. Serving God. He leadeth me. That we used to sing that song. Maybe some of you are older, a person, "He leadeth me, He leadeth me."
That's a song that we used to sing in the church. He leadeth me. And I say today, if you let the Lord lead you, brother, He'll lead you right into that city called heaven. Right into the pearly gates. I'm glad today He gives guidance day by day in our Christian lives. What do you get when you get saved? What do you get when you come to God? When right into the Roman believers. Paul said in the 5th chapter of Romans, and I like this, and I come to this part now. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have Tommy, you helped me out a lot, but you're always ahead. You got to the 8th chapter before I got there. 5th chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Did you know why Jesus came to this earth? That mankind might have peace with God. When Adam sinned, he broke the fellowship and no peace. A man that is unsaved does not have peace with God. A man that is unsaved has turmoil and confusion and chaos in his life, always looking for something to satisfy. But the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the first things that a man gets when he gives his heart and life to God. Peace. The peace of God in his heart and in his life. No longer does his heart condemn him. No longer is there guilt feelings. No longer is there gnawing in his very being over some wrong in his life. Romans 8 and 1, Tommy. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. The guilt feelings are gone. Allow me to testify briefly. I knelt on this side of the church all of those many years ago, 57 years ago, over here with my wife. And when I accepted Christ, and when my sins were covered by the blood, and when I was saved in that altar, I want you to know that peace came in my heart. A peace like the world doesn't know anything about. In a moment's time, I hadn't lived for the Lord 2 minutes, but I had a deep set of peace. The peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and the guilt feelings are gone, and the condemnation is gone, and all of that is gone. Our sins, the burden of sin has been lifted, and I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Brother, I'm testifying again right now, I'm still a new creature. Search the world over, and you'll never find anything to match up with it. What do you get when you get saved? You get peace in your heart. Peace. The peace of God. I was looking through the hymn book. I found a hymn. I read a scripture, 16th chapter of John. These things have I spoken unto thee, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to leave a thought in your mind today. All that I'm preaching about is in Christ. In Christ we have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. In the world you'll have hardships. In the world you'll have difficulties. In the world you'll have troubles. But in Christ you'll have peace. Let me read one verse of one hymn. Oh, I love to walk with Jesus like the publican of old, when he gathered them about him and the blessed tidings told. How he came to bring deliverance to the captives in distress. Take away our every burden, giving perfect peace and rest. I will follow where he leadeth. I will pasture where he feedeth. I will follow all the way, Lord. I will follow Jesus every day. I promise you this, if you will follow the Lord, there will be peace in your heart. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I thank God for that today. I have got peace like a river. Secondly, I'd like to mention, along with peace when we got saved, you get joy. A joy that is beyond words. And I mentioned some of this in the class, and then I caught myself because I didn't want to preach my sermon in the class, and then I'd really be messed up. But I read the 23rd chapter of Psalm, and I mentioned the second verse a while ago. And when you come down a little further in that chapter, David said, my cup runneth over.
Now, I want to say that again. My cup runneth over. That is not the testimony of someone that is despondent. That is not the testimony of someone that is, I hope I make it, I hope I can make it, I hope I can make it. That is not the testimony of someone that is ready to throw in the towel or give up. That's the testimony of somebody that is on fire. My cup runneth over. Full and running over. The blessings of the Lord are real. My cup is running over. The joy in my heart is just bubbling over. What are you saying, preacher? There is no joy in the world like the joy of knowing the Lord. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I mentioned that and I'm not going to repeat it now after the Sunday school hour. But the joy that is ours. I don't know how you felt when you got saved. I don't have any idea how you felt. I don't know exactly how you felt. But I've seen people when they got up on that altar, first thing they wanted to do, they hug somebody's neck. That's all right. One boy got up from the altar and said, Brother Jones, I want to call my mama. Back in Arkansas, I want to call my aunt. My aunt, his mother's dead. I want to call my aunt back in Arkansas to tell her that I've gotten saved. Somebody else had something else. I want to share something. I wanted to call my mama when I got saved. She prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. And I know she would rejoice to hear that I was saved. And she did rejoice. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? There's joy. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of heaven. Over the announcement, over the fact that one person gets saved. And somebody said, Brother Jones, there's that talk about the angels. When somebody gets saved here in this altar, the angels are shouting the praises around the throne of glory. And they're praising God about salvation. I don't believe that, and you might believe it, and that's all right. But I believe the announcement has been made in heaven. And your mama and my mama and your daddy and my daddy, whoever it is that's prayed for you and prayed for you. The announcement has been made that Glenn Jones got saved that Sunday night in the altar. And my mother heard about it, and she began to worship God in the presence of the angels of glory. She understands about salvation. Angels don't understand salvation. No angel has ever been saved by the blood of the Lamb. They don't know how I felt when the joy bells began to ring in my heart. They don't have any idea about the peace of God that came in my soul and the joy that is there even now. And Peter said, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now let me leave something with you. He's not talking about, when I mention about his cup running over and that joy bells ringing, he's not talking about a person in high school getting on the honor roll straight A's. I never did. And I'm not boasting of bad grades. I passed my grades, but I never made the straight A honor roll. Some of you have, and God bless you. This is not the joy of getting on the dean's list in college. This is not the joy of getting a promotion on the job or a pay raise. This is the joy of having your sins forgiven. Knowing that all is well. And I'll leave this with you as I hurry along. No one can take it from you. Aren't you glad? No one can take your joy. You say, well, Brother Jones, you don't know how I've been treated and what people have said and how what they've done. No one can take your joy unless you let them. It's in Him. And as long as you're in Him, the joy is in Him. And so I've mentioned today, what do you get when you get saved? You get rest. You get provisions. You get protection. You get directions and guidance. You get peace and you get joy. And I'm going to come to this one. And you get hope that the unsaved don't have. I am glad that I can stand before this congregation this morning and tell you, I have a hope. We sing that song in the choir. I typed it out. I want the words.
I liked him. My heart was so torn and burdened with care. Trouble and sorrow were heavy to bear. But I called on the Lord, and in my despair, He came unto me and lifted me up and answered my prayer. Now I have a hope that is steadfast and sure. I have an anchor that will endure. Yes, my anchor holds beyond the grave. For Jesus, our Lord, the great resurrection, is mighty to save. I have a hope. When Brother Ellison Holloway passed away, and we had a funeral right here in this church, and Jay and Mary Jane were seated on this front pew, and the choir was in place, and they asked us to sing that song because Brother Holloway was a waterman, and in the song it mentions about an anchor. Now remember while we were singing, looking at Mary Jane, and something was just going over in her heart, remembering her daddy as a waterman and how that he loved the song and loved the fact that we have an anchor. I'll leave this with you this morning. I have a hope like this world does not know a thing about. When Paul was writing to a young preacher named Titus, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a hope this morning. I've got a hope this morning that no unsaved person can even imagine. I have a hope. I have a hope. Hallelujah. I could preach right here a little bit about prophecy. About where we are in prophecy. Where we are in what's going on in the world. And I'm not going to take time but just to mention this. I believe we're closer to the very last mile than we realize. I believe we're nearing the gates of that city closer than we can even think about. I believe the Lord's coming. And I have a hope that when He comes, I'm going to hear that trumpet. I'm going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm going to be caught out of here. And I'm going to be with the Lord forever and forever and forever. And forever and forever. And if there's any more forevers, I'll be there too. What do you say, preacher? I've got a hope. I've got a hope. I've got a hope. How many days, how many nights when I was in sin did I go to bed in the Air Force? When I go to bed in that open barracks, in that open bay barracks, when I would go to bed and toss and turn, sometimes with my head busting open, living in sin. How many times I would go to bed with that kind of feeling, but I haven't had to do that since I got saved. I've got a hope. Hallelujah. My sins have been covered by the blood. I'm a child of the King. Amen. I'm on my way to glory. I've got a hope. Martin Luther King stood yonder in Washington, D.C., in the capital city. Said, I have a dream. I have a dream. And it was a tremendous. What is it? Not a message. What is it called? Whatever. You know. It was good. I have a dream. I'm going to leave this with you today and say something very straightforward. Mine is not a dream. Mine is reality. I have a hope because I have Jesus. I have a hope because He's in my life and I'm in His. Everything I preached about this morning is in Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus, people are looking for satisfaction. They're searching here and there. Possessions and power and prestige and popularity and everything else along the line, but nothing satisfies like Jesus. What do you get when you get saved? I never thought about that until I was reading that story about those two preachers. What do you get when you get saved? Sometimes people will say something like this, well, what is in it for me? What's in it for me? I'll tell you what's in it if you're saved. All that God's made is yours. We haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. But I want to turn the tables. And I'm going to close. Not only did I mention peace and joy and hope. Did you know when you got saved? What you got life. You've got abundant life. You've got eternal life. And with that, you've got heaven. Brother, He gives something when you get saved. What you got when you got saved, but now I want to share it just briefly. And I close. There was a preacher in Texas that had a friend. He was a wealthy lawyer. His name was George. The preacher friend had talked to him. They were close friends. And the preacher had talked to him over and over again about serving the Lord and getting saved. And George would always say, "Someday, someday, someday." And one day the lawyer was out and there was a terrible accident and he was caught in the accident. They rushed him to the hospital and he contacted the pastor. And the pastor went to the hospital where George was, and when he went to his bedside, first thing the pastor did, "George, don't you want to turn your life over to God? Don't you want to?" He was in bad shape. They knew that he was dying. "Don't you want to get saved?" And with his life ebbing from his body, no strength, George said to the preacher, "Preacher," as he whispered, "it's too late." And the preacher tried to let him know, but he said, "But preacher, it's too late. I intended to get saved. I intended to serve God. But it's too late now." And he shut his eyes and the last thing he said was, "It's too late." And he died. And the preacher was called to preach his funeral. And when he was telling the story, tears ran down his face. And he said, "My friend, my good friend George, died, lived without Christ." He said, "My friend George died without Christ." He said, "Now we have placed him in a Christless coffin. We had a Christless funeral. We placed him in a Christless grave. And one day he will stand in the judgment without Christ and be assigned to the torments of hell forever without Christ." He was broken when he said that, crying, 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 because his friend lived without Christ, died without Christ, and will forever be without Christ. What do you get when you reject Christ? What a sad story. What a sad story. And yet today, multiplied millions are rocking on their way saying, "One day, one day, one day, one day." And I don't know why God would have me to preach this sermon this morning. But I believe that I've preached in the will of God. And I'm not here as a judge. And I don't know your life. But I want you to know what you get when you serve God. Man, you get abundance. And we keep on getting. And keep on getting. And I can say right now, Brother Tom, God has strengthened me this morning to preach. My wife and I got up this morning and she was shaking and nervous and weak. And I just sat down. In fact, I stayed in bed a half an hour longer than I used to do on Sunday morning. I didn't know whether I'd be able to preach or not, but God, you're good. He just keeps on giving. And I love Him. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, honey? Our Heavenly Father.